This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, November 20th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on anything you'd like to know about your health. You know, perhaps you've had a problem. You've done everything you can think of. You tried, you've applied all kinds of things and come up with the same old, not a whole lot of anything that works. Well, here's an opportunity. Let's talk today. Let's see what we can do to open a couple doors for you that you hadn't thought about before this. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's kind of, you know, go through the weeds here a little bit and open things up. I've got a lot of things I want to talk to you about today, and hopefully many of them will stir you to the point of making some changes or at least doing something positive and becoming involved, becoming proactive in, you know, changing things, if you will, because it's not only your health, but it's the health of our children and our grandchildren and all those people who don't know better and get duped because of, you know, marketing and advertising and all the things that convince us that whatever they hear, see on television and radio and on the internet is absolutely positively true. Unfortunately, not so much. Before we get into the program a little bit, I want to encourage you. I want you to learn a little bit about my favorite foundation, my favorite charity. It's called Caring for Others. I'd like you to go to their website, and it's caringforothersltd.org. That's caringforothersltd.org. And check it out. This is the time of the year that a lot of very needy people need you. And let me tell you a little bit about Caring for Others. Caring for Others was founded in 1998, and its mission was very simple. It is one of providing care to people who have absolutely nothing, and the Rozelle Center for Healing participates in that as well as other offices as well. And by going to shelters and by going to indigent areas, and the doctors that are involved provide their time. They give 100%. There's no reimbursement. And then the next piece is that they give scholarships to people who are going to chiropractic, acupuncture, colleges of naturopathic medicine, nutrition, and so forth. And there's an exchange with them. They have to give back public service hours for any dollars that they receive. And the third is public information. Many of you also know that Caring for Others has a mission this time of the year, and they support and help shelters in the Washington metropolitan area. And generally, there's a huge Christmas party that's given for 4 to 5 shelters. This year is going to be a little different only because of circumstances that have come about that were not alterable, but it's what Caring for Others is going to do is that they're actually going to go to the shelters, and Santa Claus and his elves will be aboard a fire truck, and they'll be bringing them all kinds of wonderful gifts and opportunity and a whole lot of other people. So go to Caring for Others, LTD. You'll see a whole lot of this up there, ltd.org, and check it out. And your donations are very much encouraged and welcome. Please help them out. It's an amazing organization. Absolutely nothing comes out relative to administrative. 100% of every dollar that goes into Caring for Others is used specifically for what it was designed to use. So whether it's providing community education and health and wellness to people who don't, changing lives through, you know, education and scholarships, treating patients who have nothing, it goes on. This is a great organization. We try to support as many as we possibly can. Please check them out. Caring for Others, ltd.org. Got a lot of things that we want to talk about today. We'll touch on that a little bit later again, but nevertheless, I want to talk to you a little bit about vaccines. You know, everybody's out there right now scrambling. You hear all the stuff on the marketplace, come and get your vaccines. Some are free, some are, you know, and they position themselves. Well, go to, you know, the doc-in-the-box shops, as I call them, you know, and get your vaccines from, you know, doctors instead of going to the place of, you know, where you pick up your toilet paper and your diapers and so forth. And, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't make any difference. What does make a difference is you understand that in so many situations you're being duped. And, you know, it goes through all of the vaccines. I have patients that come in every day and ask me, particularly this time of the year, you know, should I get vaccinated? Should I have my children get the Gardasil vaccine? Should I take the shingles vaccine? Should I get the pneumonia vaccine? The flu vaccine, and so forth and so on. And then, so what I try to do is I try to get them to understand the science behind what's really there. I try to get them to understand that they have to know the information to be able to make a choice for themselves. And regardless of what I do, you know, there's a lot of science that's out there that will allow you to make those decisions in a much more proactive way, if you will. So what I'd like you to do is pay attention today, and we're going to talk on this subject just a little bit, and then we're going to go to other areas that are mutually supportive. You know, there's a documentary out there that is very definitely worth looking at. It's called The Greater Good, and it runs about an hour and 20 minutes or so. And the producers of this film are allowing, you know, this to be looked at in many different websites. But you can look it up. Go to The Greater Good and check it out, and you'll find access to it. You can even purchase it and give it to other people. But it's a multiple award-winning documentary. The Greater Good was initially released about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something in that neighborhood. And the tragic truth about the toxic effects of vaccines on your brain, on your immune system, and so forth, it was shown very succinctly and well documented in this groundbreaking film. And it's one of those things that, you know, obviously was set aside, was put down, was hidden. But you get people like me that are saying, hey, take a look at this thing. So it weaves together stories, by the way, of families whose lives have been altered completely forever. I mean, it's like there's no return. And this documentary reveals how modern medicine is really driven by money and politics. It has nothing to do with, unfortunately, the majority of it, not always, but anything else but money and politics. And it's the ideology and the intent of big business, you know, so it, my opinion, it robs you of your most basic human rights. And, you know, it's unconscionable in many situations because the medical risks of taking these things are huge, but they're not reporting them. They're only giving you this glorious. Think about the advertising that you see on television. And, you know, they come out with these drugs, right? And whether it's a vaccine or something else, and great commercials. They're put together in a way that almost make you feel guilty that you're not taking something. And, you know, so you run off to your doctor and say, well, I want this. And, you know, the doctor, unfortunately, you know, doesn't tell you the side effects. It's even things like, you know, an antibiotic that is one of the most deadly on the marketplace called clindamycin. And it's a fluoroquinolone, which affects the brain. And in some susceptible people, it can do tremendous dangers. It's like it should be the last ditch effort for any intervention in antibacterial armamentarium. But unfortunately, it's used very often. And you can look it up. The side effects are ridiculous. And, you know, unfortunately, physicians, when they write, they're not even aware of it. They're not even astute to the fact that they understand that pattern. So check it out. The Greater Good. It's and, you know, the other one is simply called Vaxxed. And, you know, you've heard me talk about that. It's been out. The documentary is out there. That's been suppressed as well. There's a whole, but we could spend the whole program on doing that. But, you know, when you talk about the flu shot and, you know, all of these things, the CDC began recommending that pregnant women also receive the Tdap. You know, Tdap is diphtheria, tetanus, and attenuated pertussis. attenuated means it's still alive. It's still alive, but they're putting that, why in God's name would you do that? So, you know, pregnant women and their unborn babies are still subject to this mercury-laden flu vaccine. And when it's attenuated, when there's a live virus, they have to have a stabilizer. And so they have the mercury in it, and they have the aluminum in it. And so these Tdap vaccines, you know, are introduced into our body, and they end up causing major problems. So these vaccines during pregnancy are, and they contradict decades and decades of advice to take no medication, quit smoking, stop drinking alcohol, avoid mercury-laden seafood. You know, we don't want them to go out and eat shellfish. We don't want them to go out and eat tuna and swordfish and so forth. But people have been so, we're like lemmings, you know, so conditioned to trust, you know, the people on the television and, you know, the CDC and all these people that we just go off and do it. But the problem is that, the, you know, we're seeing things come up now that we've never seen before. And, you know, people are trying to find a cure for autism, right? And we've blown something in the neighborhood of in excess of $1.5 billion over the past decade looking for a supposed genetic link to autism. It's not genetic. It's environmental, my friends. This is an epigenetic pattern. That means that the outside environment is causing things to occur. Not okay. So here's the deal. Get educated. The good news is that there's much more information available that's out there. The problem is, the bad news is, it's not being put out there on, you don't read about it or hear about it or see it, you know, on Fox and CNN and, you know, all the other channels that are out there. They just don't talk about it because behind the scenes there's somebody padding. Remember what I said? Always when you see something, when you hear something, when you read something, ask a couple questions. The first question is, you know, who gets to gain from this? Who wrote it? And secondly, who wrote the check? You know, ka-ching, right? Who wrote the check? So, you know, we look through this whole process of immunological deterioration when it comes to all kinds of things, but this is one that you need to be proactive because you're going to get duped. You're going to get suckered in. You're going to go into the hospital and you're going to say, well, you have to have this. And you're going to have, why don't you ask your doctor next time how many of these things that he actually has his family take as well, or she has to have her family take as well, that they're up on all their vaccinations. They're getting all the things that they need to get. Ask the question. I think you're going to be surprised that the number is not 100%. Matter of fact, it's not even close to 100%. You know, the best way, you know, is to educate yourself. And the problem is that particularly with our children, right, their immune systems haven't even begun to be fully optimal. Their intestinal bacteria isn't there. And we've said that, you know, the intestinal tract is 80% of your immune system. And, you know, pretty soon you get these inoculants and it's the last straw. It triggers, you know, their immune system to crash. And, you know, the toxicity that, you know, is at this point is flowing into their body continually begins to alter, change, and manipulate the nervous system and its communication patterns and so forth. And its normal functions and sensory processing is like gone. And in many cases, unfortunately, even with ourselves, by the way, is irretrievable. So get educated, understand what you need to do to help yourself, and don't back off. I mean, this is about you, my friends. This is about all of us. This is about saving our lives. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to hear your thoughts on any of these. You can even call in and argue with me if you'd like to. I am willing to show you that you're wrong. Anyway, give me a call. 888-630-9625. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about several other things. We're going to talk about, guess what? Vegetable oils and foods, and they're called glycerol-based process contaminants. And we're going to tell you what you're getting into. But in the meantime, want to talk about your stuff, the medications that you're on, and tell you what's happening. 888-630-9625. Don't go away. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on anything you'd like to talk about relative to your health. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Let's talk about your stuff today. Let's see what we can do to make a difference and, you know, kind of turn your life around because you've tried and applied and done all kinds of things and come up with the same old, not a whole lot of anything. We're going to talk about something called glycerol-based stuff, and it's a contaminant. It's found in different types of oils, but particularly things like palm oil and vegetable oils and margarines and processed foods and things of that nature. But we'll get to that and tell you all about that. Unfortunately, it's deadly over a period of time, and it can cause you some significant problems. You just don't know where they come from or why it's a problem, do you? So let's talk about that. 888-630-9625. Let's go to the phones. Laura, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Good afternoon, Dr. Roselle. I am asking about what causes homocysteine to rise in the blood, because I know that homocysteine has a bad effect on the heart.
Yep.
And it's not the cholesterol that causes heart attacks and stuff, it's the homocysteine.
Well, it's one of the things that causes it, but homocysteine is a problem child, and it's one of these things that it has to do with something called oxidative stress in the body, and we can get into the chemistries, but most people aren't going to understand it. So we're going to talk about it's a methylation process and problem within the body. So what homocysteine is actually... it's a non-protein amino acid. And what happens with homocysteine, Laura, is that when the arterial beds, the arteries, are injured, homocysteine rises, and a lot of the fat then begins to plaque simply because the body recognizes that injury and causes something called inflammation. When inflammation goes up, then the body tries to protect it by putting the fat into the arterial system. Levels of B12 and B6 and there are many other nutrient bases that are there that keep this thing in regulation and allow it not to get out of hand. But a high level homocysteine in the blood makes a person much more prone to cell injury as well, and which we talked about is inflammation. And then it goes to the place where you start plaquing, and, you know, if you don't get it down. So homocysteine levels, if you go to your doctor and you have your blood test done, in my opinion, anything above 6 begins to be suspicious. Now you get into about 7, we have a problem. You get into 8 or 9, you got to do something quickly to drop it down. Now, one of the things that will also do to stress, diet, stress, lack of activity, imbalances in the things that go into our system. So we have to look at those pieces all together. So we want to know what the homocysteine levels are, but we have to also relate them to other things that are going into the body. It's the same thing when you look at cholesterol. Cholesterol can be high or cholesterol can be low, but it depends on the breakdown, the substructures of cholesterol that actually make it problematic. And if we don't look at it that way, then you never turn anything around. I have patients that come in and, you know, all of a sudden their homocysteine goes up, their A1C hemoglobin goes up, other inflammatory markers go up, and they weren't up before. So why is that? So we have to find out, you know, what have they been doing with their life over the last many months? But anytime you see an increased rate of homocysteine where it wasn't there before, it can be a B6 problem, it can be a B12 problem, it can be a methylation problem. And it's different for a lot of people, but what seems to be consistent is also bacteria levels of certain types will drive homocysteine. If the intestinal tract's not working the way it's supposed to, then you begin to see shifts within the intestinal lining, creation of something called ammonia. And we won't go into the subfractions of that, but then we get irritation within the arterial beds again, and now we begin to plaque. So it's a methylation and what we see a conversion into something called methionine, B12 and B6, but we'll leave it from there. What was your next question, Laura?
The next question is, where can I find the combination of zinc, calcium, and magnesium? Because I was at a physical therapist, and he told me I have to take this to the three combined together to help my bones. So,
well, the thing that is, Laura, look, here's the deal. I can't recommend a product, unfortunately. Anybody that we recommend is our sponsors, and what we do is we make sure that they are 100% supportive of our thought process and philosophy. But what I will tell you this is, go to any of the Whole Foods, Moms, any of the good nutritional stores out there and tell them what you need. Now, you have to remember that it changes for each person. If you can't absorb calcium, no matter what you take, it's not going to get into your system, and you have to have enough hydrochloric acid in your stomach. And if anybody's on a protein pump inhibitor, you know, things that we take for GERD, they're not going to absorb regardless of what you take because your body doesn't have any digestive enzymes to bring it into the system. So we have to make sure that we have enough digestive enzymes. But boron, selenium, B6, zinc, trace minerals, calcium citrate is the most important one if we're trying to restore bone. Again, it's individualistic, but those are the things. Go there. If you're a patient of mine, I could tell you what to do. A patient's a Sue's. You know, she's a great resource. Make an appointment to see her. We're coming up to a break. First half went way too fast. Got a lot more to talk to you about. 888-630-9625. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Dr. Tom Rozell here. Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. For those of you who are just first joining the program, welcome. For those of you who are long-term listeners, glad you're back. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. I want to remind you, in the season of celebration, giving, and Thanksgiving, there is my favorite foundation, Caring for Others. Caring for Others was established in 1998, and it has some very specific focuses. One is to provide scholarships to people who are going to colleges of chiropractic, acupuncture, colleges of naturopathic medicine, nutrition, functional medical nutrition, and people who serve the community at large. You know, the other things that they do is these doctors that are involved in this, they go out into the community and they go to shelters and they go to homeless areas and they treat people who have absolutely nothing. Caring for Others needs your help. You know, it's a devoted organization that is straight up about helping the needy and making sure that we educate people so they can take control of their lives. And we do all kinds of things on a global basis. Go to caringforothersltd.org. That's caringforothersltd.org and make a donation. They can help so many people with your help, and without you, it's impossible. Make it happen. caringforothersltd.org. They'll appreciate everything that you do, and it's a 501c3 foundation, Virginia-based, and your contribution is 100% deductible. caringforothersltd.org. Let's go to the phones. Ron, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Good to talk to you, Dr. Rozell. I'm a psychologist. I've been into nutrition for 45 years. I'm
good
for you. Vegetarian. I follow Furman and Hyman and all the big guys.
Okay.
But recently, I had a repetitive motion injury in the abductus longus area, and I wanted to know, I am going to a chiropractic, and I am going to a acupuncturist. I wanted to know what else I could do to ameliorate that condition. I've never had that type of injury. I've been working out for about 50 years.
Okay, you got to remember that in my world, and especially that we deal with, is in applied kinesiological patterns, which means
right.
Every muscle in the body has an organ system that it communicates with, right?
That's correct. So what would be the acupuncture points? I mean, the acupuncturist I go to is an OMD, PhD, so he's very...
First, it's not that easy, because every muscle in the body has a reactive pattern. That means it works cooperatively with another muscle, okay? And I'm saying this not just for you, but for our audience.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. The adductor muscles relate to gonadal function and hormone levels. And if the hormones are shifting, then they're going to make it more susceptible to injury. So any kind of lateral movement that needs internal stabilization or medial stabilization can be a problem. In Chinese medicine, the Ren meridian, which is the frontal storage meridian, is related to that as well. CX meridian, conception vessel, also another term for that. But exact points, you have to know which is shutting it off, and that may not be it. It could be the nerve roots. The nerve roots come from the low back and the sacrum. It can be the pedal foot base. It can be your feet.
It does, when I compensate, it goes to the lateral part of the tibia and fibula and into the foot, so there may be something.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got to take a look at, you know, it's the old story, the knee bone's connected to right all the way through.
Right.
So
correct.
You've got, you know, you have the pedal base, you have your arch, you have the talus, you have the fibula,
right.
Fibula and femur. If the fibula is out of position, it's going to cause a torquing of that area. The quadricep itself can be involved in this. The quads four muscles, it's going to react to the sartorius and the adductor muscles.
Right.
So you got to find out which one's which. If you can try something very simple, it may be an overstretch pattern and the fascia's involved, get like a rolling pin, a stick. There's a device called simply the stick. It's about, maybe an inch wide, and it's about a foot a little bit longer, about a foot and a half long, and just take it in the inside of the adductor muscle from the knee all the way up to the pelvis, the frontal muscle, get the hamstrings, get the TFL on the outside, work those things and see if that makes a difference, and actually strip them out like you're going to be, rolling a piece of pie out.
What about trigger point therapies and things like that?
Trigger point can help. Again, you're dealing with the why behind it. You got to find out what's causing it to malfunction. And if we said, the quadricep, related to the intestinal tract. The adductor muscles are related to gonadal function. You may need something as simple as zinc. You may, which
I take
is
zinc. I take all nutritional zinc.
But
the
depends on what kind it is too.
Injury, so it happened during the exercise.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You can have the straw that breaks the camel back, which is the injury itself. But what predisposed it to happening? You don't know what that mechanism is until your doc finds that. You're going to be limping along. I wish I could be more specific. Take this and it's going to fix it, but it's not that simple. Flush out the fascia. See if that helps you. See if you can do strain counter strain. So you do, the TFL, I would do an adductor movement, put a lot of stress into it, stop it, do an abductor movement, see if that's allows anything, and do those things and see if what you can come up with. But to give you specific points, again, what's causing it is the key here.
I want to really stretch the abductus longus muscle heading externally, because when I go internally, it does pain me, but externally to stretch that muscle, correct?
I still do strain counter strain and see what you can do with that and flush out the muscle. And I wouldn't stretch anything until you find out what the triggering mechanism is. Try those things. If we can ever help you, please let us know. But those are the things that you need to do with any kind of injury that just happens. You got to find out why. If the nerve to it is not firing, you got to fix the nerve. If the acupuncture system is not working the way it's supposed to, you got to upregulate the energetic level first. But simple things that won't get you in trouble are basically strain counter strain patterns, stripping out the fascia, and not to the point where you're going to hurt yourself, but do those things. Muscles are going to be tight and sore to pressure, simply because they're going to malfire. But if you look at fascia, which is like a piece of saran wrap or plastic wrap, it crinkles sometimes. And I'm using that as an analogy. What you have to do is it has to be gently smoothed out. Now, if it continues to reoccur, fascial problems that keep coming back are folic acid B6 problems. So you supplement those as well, and see how things begin to turn around. I hope that's useful. Again, you have to know the why behind things. We have a couple other calls. We're going to take them. I want to get into this article just a little bit because I promised you I would. Recently, particularly in my field, I'm looking at nutritional patterns. There's been a lot of back and forth on what's called, glycerol-based contaminants, and they're found in palm oil and in other vegetable oils, margarine and some processed foods. And the problem is it's putting up a flag, a concern for you consumers, simply because of the fact that these are problematic. And if you don't know what they are and how they work within the body, you got a problem. The substances formed during the processing of these particular things occur at very high levels of approximately 200 degrees centigrade, and they begin to cause these oils, these palm oils, these other fats and so forth, to have high levels of oxidative damage to the body. And potentially they're very carcinogenic, and they're genotoxic, means that they're going to affect your genetic map very much like any kind of epigenetic irritation from the outside. So you've got to understand that these are things that you need to really avoid as much as possible. Any of the palm oils, any of the processed foods. That's one of the reasons that there's such a problematic situation. So when you look at assessing these things, these epigenetic toxins, these carcinogenic potential substances, they're really unintentional, you know, in how they present, but they're there. And you have to make sure that, particularly for younger children, they're growing quickly, their immune systems aren't fully developed and so forth. And, you know, we put a lot of these things in infant formulas. And these kids are getting this junk and it's getting into their system. It's not okay. And the problem is the risk for other things to occur because of that exposure is extraordinary. So, again, look this stuff up. You know, there's a lot of scientific opinion on the risks, you know, for human health that are related to these glycerols. You really need to do your homework, if nothing more, stop them because they're not okay. They're not going to support you. Let's go to the phones. Jerry, how can I help you?
Hey, Doc. I've got a question about naturopathic medicine, just kind of a broad question. But before I get that, just real quick, I was listening to the prior call, and you were talking to about the fibula and stuff. It got me thinking about just, you know, being in high school biology. I think we learned there's 206 bones in the body. Is that right?
Yeah, there's quite a few. What's the question?
Well, but is that right? Is it 206? Was I remembering that right?
Yeah, 206, but they found some other ones, including, you know, if you go into the ear and so forth, there's some going back and forth relative to the actual number, but yes, you're right.
But how many of them, see, I was always curious about this, and nobody knew, but I'm sure you know, how many of those are like just mirror image, left side and right side? In other words, but it can't be like 103 on each side because you have soft.
No,
like
that's
center, right?
That's total. That's the total number of bones, and particularly in the adult, because in the child, you know, bones haven't closed yet, right? So if you want to start separating, you know, where the growth plate is and the upper portion and so forth, you know, there's, if you go to the birth, as I said to you, that there's more than that in a child and particularly at birth, there's, you know, there's almost 300. And at that point,
wow,
you have to realize that that's the way the skeleton's set up. But it's because of the growth plates. It's because that they haven't formed completely. But in the adult, you're right on. It's exactly at that level. So what's the question?
Well, no, but what I was saying is how many of those are mirror image left side, right side? Like there's a left femur and a right femur.
Yeah, of course, they are.
Left sternum and right sternum.
No, there are some bones that are absolutely singular, Jerry, and you know some of them that are bilateral.
How many of those are there?
I'm sorry?
How many absolutely singular ones are there?
Jerry, are you looking for a class or what are you looking for here? I mean, you either have a question, you know, this is craziness. The body is designed for bilateral operation. The acupuncture system has energetic channels on one side of the body and the acupuncture system has energetics on the other side. We call 12 primary meridians, but there's 24 because they're separate. You have carpal bones in the right hand, you have carpal bones in the left hand. You have tarsal bones in the right foot, you have tarsal bones in the left foot. You have one breastbone, you have one coccyx that's made up of several different segments. There are different bones. The skull has bilateral bones and it has one forehead bone called the frontal bone. So there's things are made up in bilateral patterns. They're also made up singularly relative to the number of bones that are in the body. But whether they're bilateral, they're counted on one side of the body, they're counted on the other side of the body. If they're singular, like the sternum, you add that but at total there's 206, and you were really exactly right on, not an issue at all. You know, you have in the feet, they're mirror images, they're bilateral. In the legs, they're bilateral. In the arms, they're bilateral. The rib cage is bilateral. You have singular bones in the spine, in the neck, in the mid back, in the low back, and so forth. You have one sacrum. So all of these things, you know, if you want the number, look it up. It's there. But that's the way the beauty of the human body is configured. It's amazing, amazing structure. So remember that there are more bones in a child, in a newborn, simply because of the fact that these bones have parts. And once they fuse together, these parts now become one. And once they become one, once they reach adulthood, now they skinny down from about 300 down to about, as you said, 206. That's exactly the way they run. 888-630-9625. Talking about a lot of different things today. I want you to be aware that, you know, the information that is out there is sometimes altered, and stuff that you have to know how to go to different websites and find out, you know, what the truth of the situation is. If you don't, you're going to be grossly misled. You know, it's like, for example, all right, have you ever had a cavity? Then you need to know about, you know, what they're filling your teeth with, right? The American Dental Association has been staunch in their position that amalgam fillings, which contain 50% mercury by weight, are safe. These are silver fillings, and they look silver, but they're 50% by weight mercury. You know, even the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has a long history of supporting the ADA, the American Dental Association. You know, there's a couple of reasons for this. It's not that they don't know what the problem is. It's the fact that if they came out and said, yeah, these mercury fillings are killing people and causing mental damage and kidney problems and impaired heart function and so forth, can you imagine the financial lawsuits that would ensue after that? You know, we're literally saying, yeah, we've known this for a long time. So what they're hoping is that dentists, as they become more educated, begin to drop using them. And so your exposure becomes less. The problem is right now that there's still way too much use of this stuff, and it's still in excess of 50% of all dental fillings. Not okay. You know, particularly when you consider 4 in 10 people are very vulnerable to the toxic effects of mercury, particularly in large compounds. And we can get into all the different areas that this stuff is in, but it's, you know, just do your homework. Check it out. Check it out, because it's there. But just don't go to one site. Just don't go to the government. Government doesn't back you. Government's not protecting you. They're not there to make sure you don't get sick. They're just there to, you know, find an economic liability. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday, 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard. And you do the math from where you're at. We appreciate your faithfulness to the program. Those of you across the country listening to us either on terrestrial or on the computer, or tune in later on and go to rozellecare.com, 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 and you'll hear the programs. You can go to YouTube and check out old programs. It's all there. We do this for you. We do this to make sure that, you know, you check things out, and my job is to provoke you. Your job is to do the homework. Let's go to the phones. Michelle, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Just trying to get some information. Oh, good afternoon, Dr. Rozelle.
Good afternoon to you.
Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to get a little information about curing alopecia.
Okay, for women or men?
Women, well, in the mid-50s, female.
Okay.
I'm going through the menopause and just not a very healthy stress level, really high stress level.
When did it start?
In my 40s.
Okay. All right. So let me just give you a couple ideas, because we're going to run short on time, and I want to make sure that I can support you here a little bit. Obviously, when hormone levels shift, you're going to, in many cases with women, not always, but you're going to see a shift in the thickness of hair, but also then the thinning of hair. And that process is usually a result of hormonal shift, but it also can be a result of stress patterns over a period of time. What you look for is you need to get two testing done. You need to get all your hormones done, and they need to be not just the total amount of estrogens, progesterones, and testosterone, but you also need to see the amount of hormone that's available. That's called free estrogens, free testosterone, free progesterones. You need to see exactly what, you know, what those balances are. But the other thing that we do is we look at the salivary level of hormone. That's what's actually gotten into the tissue. So you can have all the stuff sitting out there, but if it doesn't transport or if it can't get into the sites, that's a whole different story. That can be a stress pattern. It can be related to thyroid function. That's subclinical and so forth. So you look at those things first. You know, there's, if it's a testosterone level that's out of control, meaning for you, not necessarily that high, but aberrant for a female, then you're going to start getting damage to the hair follicles. Not something that can't be turned around. But in fixing this, I mean, there's a lot of things out there, like, you know, the different medications, you know, from minoxidil and so forth that come in many different brand names. But before you do anything like that, you need to see what your hormones are, what the inflammatory levels are. Try to begin to decrease that. You can do laser therapy if you change things and you want to stimulate the hair follicles again. That works. There's some hereditary patterns with alopecia for women, not only men. Men get genetic balding patterns. Usually comes from the female side, by the way. But alopecia, you know, has to do with that gene pool, has to do with hormonal pool, has to do with stress levels and so forth. And again, I'm not purposely trying to be ambiguous. I'm trying to get you to understand that you need to find out as much as you possibly can first, you know, before you start taking any meds or drugs. But start with hormones, look at the dietary patterns, look fight flight system, the adrenal system, because once you go through menopause, your adrenal glands are the ones that put out estrogens, progesterones, and testosterones, and if they're doing aberrantly, there's going to be a problem. You have to look at exposures too, you know, and then you look at the type of loss. Is the hair breaking? Is it thinning? Is it, you know, the follicles get, is there an immune problem that, you know, that is causing it? That's where you start. Try vitamin B complex and begin to go through all the other steps I talked to you about. Go to RoselleCare.com and, you know, send me a note. I'll see if I can even be more directive for you. We're coming up to the break and the end of the program. I'm so sorry. I wish this was much longer. Now you start calling. I got 5 calls on the line. See you next week. I love you all. Bye.